And this has always been this the case?
Basically, because Barbados tend to...
So this is the first election. This is the first election that people have been generous?
But the level of assistance that one is...
And the directness of it. I don't think they feel
the generosity is unparalleled.
Here's my challenge with this gentleman. Here's my challenge with this gentleman. Doesn't it begin to resonate with the individual sooner or later that the reason why they're so dependent on largesse and assistance is because the country's sick and here well?
No, people, they don't think like that.
I understand. Hold on. I get the point. But here's the thing, okay? And this is why I made the comment at the start of our discussion that one of the challenges I see going forward for this nation, I don't care which P is in office, is to move people from I want, to I can, and I will give. And let me tell you why. You work, Corey, Peter, we work. Some of us are married, some of us are single. If you are in a two-person household, and you're living a certain way, you got two cars, two children going, one going to dancing, one going to swimming, you got flat-screen TV, you got cable television, you lost your pick. Somebody lose a pick. You have to adjust your standard of living. Yes, you don't want the children catch bus. Their peers can laugh at them because they're accustomed to coming with a car. You won't give up this, you won't give up that. At what point do you realize all my savings gone, I can't pay the light, they cut off the water, and I still trying to drive two cars and live the way I used to live? At some point, it's going to hit you in the gut.
Yeah, but then it's
people call this program all the time and complain. I can't buy food. I can't do this. I want a job. They cut off my light.
Then the biggest mistake when does that it we realize? Make, right, is that we use our own minds, our understanding, and experience to judge others.
I don't judge.
To try to understand others. I take the word out, judge completely.
Thank you.
While working in prison, you speaking of murderers and rapists, and so I learned early, do not use your mind to try to understand some others. Their mind, it just does not function the way that your mind, where it's just completely different. The thing is, politicians are not going to use that approach. It's not advantageous to them. They need people to depend on them. Making people independent, then how would they be able to control the person? And I want to make one more point. You see, to me, when you get onto the brass tacks of the issue, to me, the 24th between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. is really the crunch time. It's really what really matters. Right, and then afterwards, the governance, what really matters. I believe, when even in talking about the swing, Peter, this is my fear with the swing. I believe that the DRP base will support the DRP. They're energized. They're not like in 99 where they had the resignations and the confusion and all that. They're energized. The Barbados Labour Party base will support the Barbados Labour Party. All right, but this is my thing. There are a lot of frustrated people. There's a lot of swing. You see those swing people. A lot of people who may be disenchanted with the government at this time. The problem is if they stay at home. If they stay at home, the swing doesn't really materialize between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's the issue for me.
No, but that has always been the case, Corey. And I've always said that the base of both parties will always vote. The base voted in 1986. The base will always vote. The problem is not the base. The conversation really is about people like you and David that didn't vote last time. And that, to me, is where it begins and ends. David, you talked about this before.
I'm not so sure that the conversation
about whether you can get those people who did not participate last time to come out and vote this
time.
It is
deeper than that. It is deeper than that. What I'm picking up is deeper than that.
Well, then that makes the decision
Let me explain to you that I do agree with you that the people in the middle, those who voted as middle, people who don't necessarily support one party all the time, or those who decided to stay home. And there are some people who have who tell you they have never voted, even though they've been eligible to vote for years. They won't be as bold as some of us to come and say so. But it is crucial that the two parties get their bases out. I am suggesting to you What I'm hearing, and I wouldn't establish right now which of the two I'm talking about, but I'm hearing more people from one side say they ain't voting. And if that happens...
They are part of the base.
Yes, they are part of the base, and they're saying they're not voting. And you need to watch that, because I think, contrary to what is suggested, one of the parties appears to me as though if it does not do something very significant between now and election day, it is going to be terribly disappointed at its base.
David, I not argue with you, right? But I remember last time that was kind of like the sentiment. And some people even pointed to this whole idea of the double poll bringing out those same people. The people pointed to the privatization argument bringing out those same persons. People pointed to the bus ad bringing out those same persons. You see, and when Arthur said it, I said there's a time when Dems become Dems again. And I'm not saying that you're talking about the Dems, but what I'm saying is, you know, coming up to those final days of the campaign, both parties chuck their vehicles into sixth gear and the base starts to rally and come out. And that's what I'm expecting again. Same old script.
If you look at the 99 election outcome and you look at the analysis of it, the participation in the election was slightly lower than the year before. So there wasn't a particularly high voter turnout. But the curious thing about that landslide in favor of the Democrat Barbados Labour Party was that the BLP was already in office. And when I looked at the areas, when I looked at voter turnout, specifically in the hardcore DLP areas, it was down. And that was an election where I feel the argument that you're using, David, is that a lot of the hardcore them, the people who would have been the base of the DLP that would never consider voting.
I didn't say which one.
Did not. Well, right. But I'm saying in parties. This one. Because we're talking about statistical data that's real.
Yes.
And it was uneven because you look in the areas where the support level for the DLP is highest, people didn't come out. I remember the coast was part of St. James South at that time. And that had a significantly lower voter turnout. And my sense was that you're looking at people who were frustrated. Now, if that happens this time, and you add that on top of the change of government enthusiasm that is in some quarters, then you do have a situation where you can have a fairly significant swing in the other direction. My concern, though, is that a lot of those people who are telling me, and they're telling me too, David, a lot of the hardcore people from one side or the other that are saying that they're not voting, I don't think that a lot of them will. I think that a lot of them will still vote when it comes down to the crunch. You know, I think that they will come out and vote for the party. There's one in particular that I can think of who's also a media practitioner like us, she's saying to me that she is not voting. But I really do feel that when she wins the election morning, she can go and do something different.
Well, you know, things can happen, but a lot depends upon the campaign that is run. And in every campaign, there are one or two issues that tend to sway the majority. The question is, in this campaign so far, we are yet to get the kind of fight between the two political parties that can give us a better idea now as to exactly what are those central issues. There has been an attempt to make the money from the Barbados Labour Party's access to money from some source other than Barbados an issue. My information is that might very well escalate into something bigger by the end of the week. I wait to see if what I've heard is indeed true. But then there is the issue over the non-contributory pension, all focused now on the BLP's manifesto. What cannot work? And I remember very well that there was an election when Bernard St. John led the Barbados Labour Party. And Richie Haynes was there with the Democratic Labour Party as finance minister, or spokesman for finance, rather. And there was a $15,000.
It was 10, and then it was 15.
And all the arguments were presented by the Barbados Labour Party as to why it couldn't work and how it would destroy the Barbados economy. But that didn't stop the people from voting for the Democratic Labour Party in that particular general election. And it goes to show that even though there are many people who will say, but you know, in truth and in fact, Barbados may not be able to afford it, they go for something else. It is not just that. There's something else that galvanizes people. The biggest problem that the Democratic Labour Party would face in this period is the 10-year cycle. That in general terms, Barbadians say it is time for change. Mm-hmm. All right?
Agreed.
And if you add other issues to that, and if the Barbados Labour Party is able to exploit those other issues, then it becomes even more challenging. But the BLP side of it is this, where I sit. They have to be able to convince their people that they shouldn't be complacent. Because you can reach that point where you say, oh, We got it covered. Yeah.
And,
you know?
Yeah.
You see, we got it covered.
They don't need my warm vote.
You don't need my warm vote.
which to me, David, I think is more, because I don't really believe a lot of these things about the campaign and stuff. I think a lot of people have made up their mind. But I think the bigger issue right now is the extent to which a lot of those core people that we're talking about feel the party really needs an election day. Do they need me to win? Or do they need me to save themselves? And I think that is really a morning feeling where you wake up in the morning and you say, I really need to put on clothes and go out there, because either going out there ain't gonna make the difference, or alternatively, maybe they don't need me to get across the finish line.
How many cars they send for me that morning?
All right.
You know, so, I find it interesting that you said that, because I was talking to a friend of mine who said to me, why are you living in St. Thomas? You vote wasted either way.
Yeah.
You know, and I laughed. Look, gentlemen, listen. I will repeat. Whichever party forms the government on the 25th day of May, Barbados is not living in isolation. St. Lucia is opening, what, the Six Sandals? Mm. Right? Tobago pushing hard for one. We have to not only fight our internal battles, we have to look at what's happening around us, where people are positioning themselves, and how we're going to begin to move this forward. David, listen, hold on. It has to be an argument that's held parallel to the how you get the base out, how you pay the bills. Somebody, somewhere, and this is what I don't understand about political strategy. Yes, the strategy is go out on the campaign, cuss people, whip up the base, get the numbers, go on social media, cuss people, get the numbers. Somebody has to be working in the background. It is not enough to say I have four economists doing this or three economists doing that. Mr. Arthur is an economist. What's his name? Professor Michael Howard is an economist. On the other side, you have Jeremy Stephen is an economist. We have a bunch of economists, okay? And nobody is saying we all agree. Everybody has a different approach, a different thinking. And I am saying, that is what I want to get away from. Because we need to stop seeing this as being somebody's agenda to win. Let me put this on the table. I raised the question the last time we had this discussion about my discomfort with what I call the omnipotent leader. And the reason why I raised it was this. In 2008, the feeling I got was that Barbadians wanted a change. Remember Owen's shelf life had expired. David Thompson was the new knight in shining armor, the new way forward, the shift, the move to youth, the man with the plan, and then David got sick and died. When you put things behind one person, unless you have a team of people working in the background to say, we got a plan, we still carrying it forward, this is where we're going, should this happen? To me, this country goes into, let me wait and see. Hold on, the Lord will take care of us. That I don't get.
The nature of politics in the Caribbean and in many other countries revolves around a leader. But let me say this. Somebody says, your panel get real. Nothing sways the undecided voter more than the inducements that they got in 2013 in his gap when the ZR with the Grantleys turn up. Now, I just want to say this to you, though. What I hear in this debate about how money is used makes it appear as though only one side in all of this uses money. Now, as far as I am aware over the years, I have seen a situation that suggests to me that both sides can have access to money and can be generous is the term that people use. The other point that I want to make, though, has to do with the fact that the Democratic Labour Party is making the argument that we have had a very tough economic environment in which to work. And they have been able to keep our heads above water, notwithstanding the hard times. What is really surprising, though, is that the Democratic Labour Party has not been able to find a candidate among its 30 who has a well-known background as an economist. I would have thought that it would have strengthened their hand tremendously if they could have counted among their number of candidates somebody. On the other side of the coin, you have people who are running for the opposition Barbados Labour, the Barbados Labour Party, who have that kind of background.
Three.
At least three. And then there are people on the outside. Look, at the other night at Kingsland, it wasn't among, you didn't choose from among the three that they have running to make the major announcements. They went to Dr. Khalid Masco. All right. So they're also saying, and we have reserves. Okay. So this issue is the Democratic Labour Party really, at some stage, perhaps, should address that particular matter, because it does influence some people. And I think it's something for us to talk about. Remember that the CCJ decision is likely to come just after 12:30 or so. We'll go to the 12:30 news, but I think we're going to have to make arrangements to record it and make sure that if it comes in the form and at the time that we anticipate, we'll still be able to bring you that result. We're going to the Starcom Network news next.
Roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christ Church 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
This is Brass Tacks Sunday, looking at the political environment here in Barbados in the lead up to general elections on May the 24th. This person says, so far the discussion has mainly been about the DLP and the BLP. Have the other parties put up manifestos? Maybe please hear the moderator's views on those manifestos. Maybe have some dialogue read the current and future possibilities of Barbados becoming a three-party or four-party country. Thank you. You want to take a first shot at that now, Sanka?
Well, yeah. Solutions Barbados had their manifesto out, 2 years now? It's online. And UPP, they have a number of manifestos as well. And they're also online. We've heard some of the proposals come out of the Solutions Barbados, certainly. And the one that everyone talks about is the fact that they're looking at the 10% instead of actually having these meal taxes.
I think we're going to take this opportunity to go to the CCJ because the judges have come back into session, and if we are correct, we may very well get a decision from the one form or the other. So we are going to cross over there.
Mrs. Taylor, are you here still?
I am, sir.
Are you now represented by counsel?
Yes, sir.
And who is representing you?
Well, the Solicitor General is here, sir.
Thank you. Could we hear you, please, Madam Solicitor?
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you for sharing and allowing me an opportunity to get here. The background to this matter really is that on Friday afternoon when I was served at the floor, I contacted Mrs. Taylor and I informed her that I had been served and that she would need to get counsel. I also had a conversation with the Attorney General.
Okay, they seem to be an addition to the panel of legal representatives, and Sir Dennis Byron has asked for a presentation. They're in teleconference, I believe, so the difference in audio quality is what you're experiencing at the moment, David.
Of course, it's significant. I get the impression that the chief electoral officer needed to be represented by counsel.
Yeah.
And as a result, that's why we had the break earlier. Mm-hmm. So now I think the comment here is that she's been she is being represented by the Solicitor General, I believe. Mm-hmm. So this is not yet over. We'll just have to wait, see what happens during the course of the day. So they're into their arguments. All right, let's continue this discussion now. The focus was on
the other parties.
The other parties and the manifestos. Election. I was making the point, the Solutions Barbados, they're out there. And of course, you know, one of the things that people always talked about is Solutions Barbados, and they keep saying that they have to implement a new management system. And it's the ISO 9001, I think that one is.
That's correct.
And they're also talking in terms of dealing with the debt situation, to reduce taxation to 10% right across the board. So that has gained traction. That has been a conversation piece for quite a few people, because it really puts a lot of money back in the pocket. But the whole question of debt is, how you're going to deal with the existing debt is going to be a major difficulty. Some economists have agreed, have suggested that it wouldn't work. Others have said that it may work, but the debate on that is still ongoing. In terms of the UPP, as I said, they have a number of manifestos out. But the crux of their argument is that we should be looking at the creative sectors and being innovative to push the economy forward. And Ms. Eastman, Lynette Eastman, the leader of the UPP and the candidate for the city, we all know she was a minister of commerce in the Barbados Liberal Party administration. And under her, during her tenure, we had the offshore sector doing pretty, pretty well. So that has gained some traction too. What to me though is a concern, and I think it goes back to the argument we were looking at before, is the fact that the different candidates within the Democratic Labour Party finds it necessary to put out their individual manifestos. I've only seen one of those manifestos. I heard it's last Northwest? Night.
That's Northwest.
Yeah. That's Mr. Sinclair's manifesto. Very interesting. Last night, Mr. George Pilgrim in St. John, he released unveiled a manifesto for St. John, the DFP manifesto for St. John. I haven't seen that, so I really can't comment on that one. But, you know, the fact is that candidates are doing this. Some have not actually had a quote-unquote manifesto, but they have come up with pamphlets actually saying what they really intend to do within the constituency, etc. And when we come to that stage, you have to ask yourself what there is for what significantly different program they can come with, given what is happening on the national scale. It seems to be some sort of conflict there, but that's just my 2 cents worth.
No, I mean, I think Sanka just know your analysis of the two, either the UPP and the Solutions Barbados, it was very brave because you used the word gaining traction liberally. And I'm anxious to understand the basis on which you have said that they have gained traction.
I am glad you picked me up on that. Yeah. I am so happy you picked
me up on
that. I
think they've gained interest.
That is the better word, because right. You see, the thing is, and Corey also so touched on it too.
You see,
social media. No, yeah. One of the things that I think that I don't know how far we can go with this, but being quote unquote popular on social media, how does that really translate in real numbers
and Sanka,
on the ground?
That's the point that I was making a couple of programs ago when I said that I learned that from the COP election in 2006, because that was really when social media took off in 2006. Mm-hmm. The fact is that you can have a social media campaign that is successful and fairly easy, but when the rubber hits the road is now. And that's the reason why I am not convinced that these parties are gaining any traction, because they had a huge social media presence, which is easy to maintain, having people manipulate the computers and so on. But in terms of actually going out there, you know, they're polling 1.5% and less than 2%. Which to me is significant. We just saw the DNA in Antigua, Barbuda. Same thing, it was like a UPP, right? An offshoot of the UPP in Antigua. and the DNA fell below 2% and actually did not split any votes in a way that people thought that they would split it. So I am not convinced that they're gaining traction. What I would say is that there's a fascination for me that the UPP and the Solutions Barbados have been able to get to the stage of having a manifesto and you know, are still able to hold it together and get 10 serious candidates that are willing to risk,
I think,
resources.
And some of them are fairly articulate people.
That's one of the
no question about
that's
it.
One of the positives out of this election campaign.
So my question is, after the election, how do these people propose to integrate themselves into Barbados and into a conversation that has to take place in terms of governance going forward?
Well, I think that let's go across to the CCJ and see if a decision is being made. So Dennis Byron is speaking.
Adjudicate it. Mrs. Taylor, we'd like to hear from you before we decide whether to accept the request of the Solicitor General. Is there anything that you'd wish to say at this time?
No, I should wait for Sir Joe.
No, I don't think that we're there yet. So, I think that one of the significant points about the third parties and other individuals who have sprung up is the timeline. I don't think it's reasonable to emerge 2 years, even 2 to 3 years before a general election in Barbados, and present yourself as a party and expect instant results. You've got to be out there in the hustings on a longer-term basis. And that determines what they are going to do after this election campaign, whether irrespective of what happens. You have to be prepared to be in it for the long haul. And in many instances, they have some very young candidates, people who have time, who really can, if they are so desirous. Much will depend, too, upon what happens with the two established parties in this general election campaign here. Because if one of them gets severely beaten and people start to question their philosophy, their direction, and that sort of thing, that may open the door for another party to come and take their place. It may. It's very hard to envisage it in today's Barbados, given the track record of the two established parties. But I think my main point is, they must be in it for a much longer period. And it cannot appear as though you want overnight results, and if you don't get overnight results, you're gone. And if you stay, I always felt, for instance, that if the National Democratic Party has stayed around for 10 years, by that third term, it would have had a stronger chance of being in government. But even then, I thought.
Because you would notice, like, some of their candidates, for example, Rommel Marshall, he went on to win three consecutive terms for the Barbados Labour Party in St. Michael North.
Right? He was an NDP.
He was NDP.
Yeah.
Right? And he's just won. But there are other people, I mean, you know.
You got a lot of calls here, though. You got a lot of calls back
here. Not a lot of time.
Yeah, not a lot of time, yeah. Let's see what we can get. Hello, welcome to Brass That Sunday. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to the panel.
Yes, good afternoon. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and especially mine. Now, this is one time that I fully am going to agree with the comments that Peter has made.
I'm honored.
This is 30 races that are going on. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that the Barbados Labour Party is going to have is that if you focus too much on the big picture that the intellectual discussion is all about, they are going to miss what happens on the ground in those individual races. Because what has surprised me, like, there are a lot of people who do not listen to Brass Tacks. That is one of the things which I glean from the conversations which I have on a day-to-day basis around the country.
And why don't they?
And because they just don't. And some of them are disillusioned with politics, with political discussion. Some of them are disillusioned with brass tacks itself and the moderators, and they believe that these particular moderators have various biases or whatever, and they refuse to accept, they refuse to see beyond those there and listen to the truth or whatever. So therefore, a lot of personalities come involved.
So, but why, on what basis would you believe that listening to brass tacks can make the difference?
On what basis do I believe?
Yes. You said there are so many people who do not listen to brass tacks. So because they do not listen to brass tacks, are they less capable of making a decision?
No, it's not just a matter of being less capable of making a decision. It's the decision that you then make and the basis on which you make it. And what I'm trying to say is that we might consider ourselves informed about the economy, about the situations and things that go on. But for a lot of people, that conversation does not happen. They're only concerned with what happens around them. So therefore, if they don't listen to the political discussion, if they don't listen to the economic discussion, if they, when they tune in their radio, when they're driving in the car, is to a music station, for example, and that is what they hear.
But these are the ones that the campaign will sway.
But just a second. Before we talk about the aspect of the cap, the ones that the campaign will sway, what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to get at is that when it comes time for them to vote, the decisions that they make are not necessarily based on the overall economic situation of Barbados.
But it is based upon their experiences. It's based upon their life experience.
And this is the point. Because I've had conversations with people who are going to vote for the elected the current representative of their constituency, because according to them, their constituency is fine. They say that the garbage gets picked up. They say that the representative is in the community all the time, and anytime there's a problem, you can call him. And
is that widespread?
Okay.
Is that widespread?
Whether or not it is widespread, I'm not dealing with that. What I'm saying is that there are so many different layers and different things that are happening.
Yeah.
Right? That the feeling that we have that is clear cut that the Barbados that the BLP will win or what have you.
I don't know any of the moderators said that.
No, well, just a second. Not necessarily.
Yeah, you have.
What I am saying is that that idea can be felt, okay? But that is a big picture idea, and a lot of people are not looking at that big picture idea.
But I would have thought that we would all have known that there are so many variables in the makeup of the populace, the electorate, that there would be people like that out there.
Right, so therefore what I'm trying to get at is the fact that the same way you were just having that discussion in terms of the fact was the best avenue for the BLP is the ground game. I'm trying to say that that is a challenge that the BLP has to address as well. One of the weaknesses, I think, in terms, I've listened to both to all the debate, all the presentations or what have you, and to me, really and truly, is like chalk and cheese. But one of the weaknesses of the BLP's presentation, I believe, is its overall complexity. And they are almost in a way trying to say too much. And that is, in a lot of ways, might confuse the people. Because the people are more, the discussion, as you say, is about the macro level. What are you going to do? Are you going to go to the IMF? Now, everybody also knows my position on the IMF, right? I've been saying it for the last 6 years. But I am happy with what Ms. Motley has said. Because when you say at first, we are going to try to gain a measure of control of what is happening. We are going to try to come up with a better picture of what is happening. And once we have done that, then if we have to go to the IMF, we now have something that we can take to the IMF in order to get better terms from them. Because we can now go to them and say, well, this is really and truly a more accurate presentation of what has happened and our understanding of what has happened, and this is what we propose to do about it.
Thank you very much. Let's take another call. Hello. Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks Sunday. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.